Lime, duh. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Let's do it again, baby. Hello. Whoa, whoa, whoa.
And after that, I'm going straight to hell. Enjoy the show.
Welcome to the Comedians of Wrestling Podcast, the podcast where comedians dissect the wrestling to an unhealthy degree.
Someone you idolize.
I am your host, the host with the most viral stand-up about professional wrestling, Dan Black, a.k.a. Dunsky Blackamora, a.k.a. Papa Oat Milk, the Creatine Dream.
Wow.
Coming at you like Cleopatra, baby, baby, gubba, gubba, wee.
Gabba gabba wee,
yeah,
gabba,
yeah,
gabba,
gabba, gabba, gabba, gabba, gabba, gabba, gabba, gabba, gabba, gabba, gabba, gabba, gabba, gabba, gabba,
gabba, gabba, gabba,
gabba, gabba, gabba, gabba, gabba, gabba, gabba, gabba, gabba, gabba, gabba,
gabba, gabba, gabba, gabba, gabba, gabba, gabba, gabba, gabba,
gabba, gabba, gabba,
gabba, gabba, gabba, gabba, gabba,
gabba, gabba, gabba, gabba, gabba, gabba, gabba, gabba, gabba, gabba, gabba, gabba, gabba, gabba, gabba, gabba, gabba, gabba, gabba, gabba, gabba, gabba, Botch of the century. What up, jabroniacs? We are back in action for your satisfaction with all of our spicy, spicy, chef's kiss caliente wrestling reactions. And before we get into all the spiciness, first off, happy Thanksgiving, everybody. Happy Thanksgiving week, all you Turkaholics out there, all you gobbledygooks.
happy Thanksgiving, you colonialist, imperialist bandits.
Oh my God!
That's for Newman.
Good for you.
I gotta represent. You know.
Oh man, you heard him. He's here, guys. I haven't introduced him yet, but he's here.
Could be a mystery. We don't know yet. No one knows until the letters hit.
You gotta change your voice.
Before we get into introducing my spicy panel for this Thanksgiving week and early dropping episode, I'll let you know that this podcast is grassroots. If you listen to this podcast every week, you should be supporting this podcast, please. On patreon.com/comediansofwrestling, get access to all our bonus content. This week, Tulo. Can we commit to Tulo's here? Can we commit to doing a bonus episode this week? What do you say?
Possibly. I guess we got
we'll figure it out. We'll have one this week.
If not, you have the ultimate replacement in Chef.
It's possible that our Patreon bonus episode for AEW NXT will drop on Monday. It's possible. We'll talk about it. Even if you can't do it, we'll figure it out. It's a holiday week, okay? Cut us some slack. We will be next week, by the way. We can guarantee this. Is next week, I believe, is Winter is Coming, and AEW Dynamite is being transformed. It's wearing the skin of a pre-winter high school dance and the Enchantment Under the Winter dance. And
Enchantment Under the Winter?
Yeah, Enchantment Under the Winter dance. And we'll be, Tulo and I, we're going to be recording directly after, correct? And we'll be on Zoom. We'll be doing that for patrons at the $5 level. We'll be recording on Zoom so you guys can cash in, watch us record the podcast, cash in, and get your points on it by throwing up the cow sign in the Zoom window. So we'll get our post AEW Dynamite reactions.
I'd be down to do that, and then on Sunday do post War Games as well.
When is War Games?
December 6th.
War Games.
War Games.
Wait, too long. Was that your William Regal?
No, I don't know. I just did it.
Was terrible.
It sounded more like Vince, to be honest with you. Yes.
Wait, your War Games is like, War Games.
Yeah, I was like, War Games. Hey.
Wait, do your best William Regal saying War Games now.
Shit, let's I gotta it. Think of
do it. Get ready.
War Games.
That's not at all how it sounds.
Ask me to do it with my Regal.
Shabs of you, William Regal.
You manga.
Oh, man. That was good.
Someone you idolize.
The Samoan Bulldozer.
Oh, why don't you do your War Games, Dan?
War Game.
That's pretty good.
It's not bad.
Guys, did you guys see that meme someone posted? By the way, still the intro of this podcast. Yeah. But did you guys see that meme someone posted that was it was like, I don't know, it was maybe from Love Actually or something, where it was like, say it, One word. One word, eight letters. And I'm yours. And then it was Regal, and it just said, War Games.
So good, man. The best.
That's awesome. What in the real movie, what is the...
I don't know.
Jamie, I love you. I love you.
Is that
love,
from a reference? You. Is that from a movie where it's like, say it, and I'm yours or something? Is that from a rom-com? It's like the woman going up to the guy just being, say it, like eight letters, and I'm yours. Like, it's a meme. Okay, all right. Okay.
Well, I love you is eight letters.
You're trying to describe a verbal meme here. If she needs to see
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I know. It's tough. It's a visual meme.
Yeah, you know, we should break the broadcast. Let's take a quick break, and you show the meme to Jamie, and then we'll reconvene. Meme.
I'm already over it. Do I have to do that? Yeah. I'm already over it. Okay. Anyway, so we'll be doing that. So a lot of stuff coming up. After Winter is coming directly after for patrons at the $5 level at patreon.com/comedians and wrestling. We'll be recording our live episode, which will come out right after War Games. So it'll be right after Winter is coming. And then we'll probably do the same thing for – maybe we'll do the same thing for War Games. We'll figure it out. I'll announce next week what we're doing for War Games. But we'll have something for War Games.
War Games.
Something for War Games. But it's Winter is coming and War Games. They're both very similar. Both Game of Thronesian type pay-per-view events. War Games into Winter. Winter is coming, and that's why there is a War Games.
You wouldn't have it.
Yes. Winter, War Games will not break unless Winter is here or near. Could be coming, could be close, and then there is War Games. It doesn't necessarily need to be Winter. Winter can be on the precipice of arriving. All right, anyway, that's a little kayfabe for you, but all right, anyway, just become a patron, support this fucking podcast. This podcast rules. Go to patreon.com/comedianswrestling. Thank you to all the patrons who do. And you can leave us a review on Apple Podcasts, leave us 5 stars, and say in the comments who is one of your guys, and we'll give you a shout out. We'll do those next week after Thanksgiving when I'm feeling thankful. Okay, anyway, we did the Calzoom Thunderdome for Survivor Series last weekend, by the way. We'll talk about Survivor Series, but I'm going to have the video posted in Patreon for playback. So if you haven't watched Survivor Series yet and you're a patron, you can sync it up if you want to hang out with us, watch it, yeah, or not, whatever you want to do. Okay, let me introduce the room. Let's get into it. You already know they're here, but the Mark Attacked, the Super Mark, Nick Tulo's in the house. What up, Tulo?
But it is 5:35 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. It's your boy Tiptoe Tulo. Excited to be here. Another fun week of wrestling. Oh, what flavor is that, Dan?
Lime, duh. Obviously. Cracking a lime. LaCroix never hurt, no boy.
I'm excited to come this winter, and I'm excited for the Games of War. I think we got a great time. And Survivor. We've survived Survivor Series, and now winter is coming. For War Games.
Depending on your survival of the Survivor Series event, then it depends on the weather, really, about is winter is here or not. Then the War Games is here. Jason Shapiro is in the house.
Sierra Hotel, Echo, Bravo, India, Romeo, Oscar, Shapiro.
I love myself.
What up, Chef?
The king of the custom intro, the kink master, the street whisperer, the man with the NBA jam is here.
Wow.
By the way, you can see that if you watch the YouTube video on Dan Black Attack / Comedians Wrestling YouTube account, you could see Sheb's noir style shadowy lit style NBA jam machine.
I did a very
first purchase as a single man.
I have a very harsh direct lighting right now because I don't have a ring light like an influencer. I don't have enough followers yet. Once I crack 5,000 followers, they send you a ring light.
Wow.
But I got I just have a desk lamp.
Who's that? Zuckerberg?
Yeah, Zuckerberg. I got a desk lamp shooting right in my fucking eye, and I'll tell you that I'm not mad about it because it's a tribute to the dead man, 30 years of The Undertaker.
Absolutely. You loved it. You thought it was a flawless send-off, right? You said that's exactly how you imagined Undertaker ending his career, right?
I mean, Dan, you
said
post...
nothing you wanted more than some Tesla coils and a nonsensical promo.
I gotta tell you, for as far as the tech of that that farewell, great. They really upped the ante on the tech. The Tesla coils were phenomenal.
Yeah.
I think it was a great production. I just was just silly. But you should post, if you haven't already, Dan, you should post to the Facebook group the famous clip of you and me at Royal Rumble 2008.
You see that video when you become a patron.
Really?
Yeah.
We show you that?
Yeah, I say, thanks for coming to Patreon. Check out this video of me and Shams at the Rumble.
Oh, just to set the stage.
Amazing.
It was a Rumble. It was in Madison Square Garden, and we lived together, obviously, at the time in the city. And we went, and you're so excited all night for Rumble to hit, you know, finally get all the bullshit undercard out of the way. Let's get to the Rumble. Who's going to be first? Who's going to be first? Who's going to be first? And it's me and Dan, as young men in our early 20s, just holding each other excitedly, and then the lights go black, and you hear that bell, and we just freak the fuck out.
We both just go, take her! Oh, my God! It's so great.
It was so exciting.
Oh,
so
God,
great.
I love it so much.
When you're live and you don't expect a taker gong to hit, it's one of the most insane.
Oh yeah! So my nephews were at Raw after WrestleMania 35. The Raw afterwards, Shebs generously provided us with a tremendous box atmosphere.
Tremendous facility.
Fuck. Yeah.
I invited you though
at
right?
Barclays.
Yeah. I couldn't go. I had work or something.
Yeah. You know me. I just got friends in high places. The streets always tell me what's good. So yeah, I had a full luxury box comped for free at Barclays Center. You know, I wish you could have been there too.
Good for you.
I know.
Yeah,
we did go to SmackDown together.
The next day, we went to SmackDown.
Not the point of this. The point of this is that my nephews were there, and we had no idea Taker was going to be at that Raw. And I thought it was amazing because my nephews got to see Taker come out, give a tombstone to Elias.
Right?
And it was kind of crazy. But yeah, because I remembered as a kid, I would go see Taker. And I would never imagine those kids would get to see Taker. You know?
I know.
Pretty
they
fucking cool.
So those two, to see your two nephews, right? Yeah. Like, go to a wrestling show, and the look in their eye, just to see how blown away they were that I got a luxury box, like, all to myself, and all my boys could just come and just see this guy just ball the fuck out.
That was incredible
20
for
friends.
You.
They were like, yo, this dude is fucking awesome. And Taker's pretty cool, but this guy, like, our Uncle Dan's best friend, Jason, what a guy. Really in tremendous facility.
Yeah.
Shock the system.
That's Matt McCarthy's story about Ric Flair, by the way, which it's really funny story. I don't know where he tells that, maybe on his pod.
You're not sure where he tells that? Yeah, maybe his wrestling podcast. I don't know.
Yeah, we watch wrestling. Yeah. Matt McCarthy and Vince Averill, they've both been friends of the show. Anyway, all right, before we get into talking about Survivor Series and Raw and everything, I wanted to open up something I got in the mail. I figured, I got a little something.
Wow.
But
package?
I was thinking this because I was like, my arms are pretty cold right now. You know, I was my arms are cold. So I was like, maybe I'll throw this sweatshirt on. Shebs mailed me a sweatshirt.
Wow.
Well, look, man, in commemoration of the summer of Orton, of the summer of getting jacked, it's the summer of striking in style. I thought I've seen you strike, Dan.
Yeah.
Not fashionable. Your strikes,
please.
They use an upgrade
hoodie.
In fashion, and now you can strike in style.
Wow!
Wow!
Yep. And honestly, it doesn't cover your arms, but my arms feel way warmer.
Well, it's the implied warmth of a demon tattoo sleeve. When you put some slither gear on, even though there's no cloth on your arms, just kind of permeates over them.
Did you hit in squat rack the other day?
345. Yeah.
Easily that hoodie. If you do squats in that hoodie with that hoodie up like that, you're easily doing 375 next time.
This is my
easily
new character.
Three times.
This is Slithernon. Okay. This is my new. This is when I. This is my new character when I'm reading into the deep. When I'm in the sheets. Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
When I'm deep in the sheets of pro wrestling and I'm looking at real like conspiratorial wrestling theories, I wear the hood like this and I'm.
Yo, you look.
Slithernon.
Yo, move your microphone out of the way and just pose like that for a little bit, and then we'll do a screen like all the way out of the way. Get it out of the way.
Yeah, get that mic.
Look down.
Like a million bucks.
Holy shit. How do I do this? Can someone screenshot that?
I can, but I refuse to.
All right, I think I got a decent enough pick. I mean, wow.
You look great. Let me tell you something. No one buys better merch for their friends than Jason Shabira.
Shebs is the most generous merch guy, although I think I'm paying him back for this, but
I don't even care. It's not even about that. I got you an original Austin 316.
Yeah.
I got Arlen a limited edition Leatherman NWO jacket with black leather sleeves.
That's the greatest gift you can ever give. And this is the thing about Arlen. Listen, you and Arlen have a relationship. We don't have time to get into that right now. But I feel like you got him such a you gave him the nicest piece of wrestling merch ever that I don't think you're allowed to be mad at anybody.
It's maybe
I don't think I've even seen him wear it.
Oh, Dan, you found the bonus. I got you the bonus piece of merch in there, Dan. Oh, the 2020
a
special
mask. Wow.
Oh my god.
Look, I don't want you catching COVID, mask. Bro. I don't want you catching COVID. Now
this
you can
Dan. We'll never see Dan working out in anything other than this. Cow headband, slither mask, slither cutoff hoodie. He's going to be working. Oh, my.
You look incredible, buddy. Slither non.
Now you can breathe in style.
Yo, you have to read this. You got to when you're reading the dirt sheets, you have to read in this outfit.
I got to say that. I know we're doing the podcast right now, but I feel like I have to send it. I have to take a picture of this immediately.
Yeah.
Anyway, so Shebs bought this Slither merch.
Hold on. Well, I have a system that I do when I'm buying merch from a new, you know, like a never before purchased organization. I buy just a medium, a large. I'll just buy a bunch of it, try it all on at my home, and then if a large fits me and the medium's too small, I send the medium stuff to Arlen, and if the medium fits me and the large is too big on me, I send the large stuff to Dan. That's what I do.
Yeah, that's. I mean,
that's how nice Arlen. Thing. That's how Arlen got his Project Rock, a limited edition original shirt.
Yeah, that's sick. Anyway,
I'm a merch fairy, among other things.
Anyway, it's dope. Here's another fun thing. anyway, I gotta take Zolt.
Wow, what a podcast! Best podcast.
Wow.
I mean, this podcast. What a piece of content wise, I'm not sure how good of a podcast this is, but as a hangout, I'm having a great time.
Anyway, so it's fine. All right. So anyway, in terms of, by the way, we got that Patreon. So we got another Patreon subscriber. So Shebs, we have unlocked the 15-minute Adam Pearce bonus episode that Shebs is going to record.
Wow. So we got the required one patron for me to unleash the bonus episode that nobody has been waiting for. I can't wait, though. I've been waiting to drop this. Guys, summer 2020, the star of 2020, aside from Randy Orton, has been Adam Pearce. The guy went from a guy, no one knew who the fuck this guy was. Yeah. He just started showing up and like seeming to be the GM of Raw. We're like, I don't know, I guess, who's this guy? I don't know who the fuck this guy is, but he's doing GM stuff. And then I didn't know his name for the first month this guy was on TV. They didn't say it once. They didn't fucking say. I finally learned his name when he showed up to the Firefly Funhouse and Bray Wyatt called him Postman Page. And I was like, is that like Hangman Page? It's Pierce, Postman Pierce. And I was like, is that Hangman Page? And Postman Pierce, I was like, well, I reverse looked him up. Who's this guy? Then they started calling him Adam Pierce. Guys, I did the research. I looked into who the fuck this guy is. He is a major figure. He's a major figure. So I will be unleashing the Adam Pierce Origins bonus Patreon episode for the one guy who subscribed to hear it.
He's no joke. I'm excited. I can't wait to listen to that.
Anyway, so okay, so we'll listen to that. But okay, I do want to. All right, let's just get into Raw and this weekend and how it relates to Survivor Series. And we could talk about how things. But while we're speaking about Adam Pearce this week, I think this is the number one story in wrestling this week. Adam Pearce said this.
And the winner of that match will go on to face Drew McIntyre.
Guys, all right. Guys, I have to play this again.
And the winner of that match will go on to face Drew McIntyre for the W.
Can you fucking believe that?
I heard it. I did hear that when I was watching. I did hear that.
Holy fucking shit.
And the winner of that match will go on to face Drew McIntyre for the W.
Oh, that's amazing, dude. It's so good. God.
Dan, you were like, guys, I've got the drop of drops. I've got an incredible drop that's going to revolutionize the game.
Yeah.
You guys love your fart jokes, bro.
I don't love fart jokes, but how is this even? Is like a Del Dazeem level. I mean,
well,
this is
the question is like, what was he going for there? Like, how did his
McIntyre?
Brain...
But he said fart.
But how did he? How did
the
he
winner
get
of that,
that
match will go on to face Drew McIntyre. Drew McIntyre for the
Drew
McIntyre
fart. I mean,
you know what that sounds like? That sounds like if there's a kid named Drew McIntyre or Joey McIntyre, more realistically, and you're like a bully and you're in eighth grade and you're picking on, you'd be like, hey, what's going on, Mac and fart? Like, that's a bad insult that a shitty bully in middle school would call you.
It's almost like that's actually what he calls him, like, backstage. And then
that's the that's the thing. I'm trying to get to the origins here. Like, how did that come out of his mouth? It may be they call him that backstage. That's one explanation.
Because Drew, like, just farts everywhere, and they call him Mac and Fart.
And the winner of that match will go on to face Drew Mac and Fart. And Drew McIntyre for the
W. I don't like fart jokes. It's whatever. I'm not like a big fart guy. You know what I mean? I have more sophisticated humor. Okay.
I absolutely despise them.
But that is so fucking funny. Anyway, it's hilarious, especially in the context of Sheb's just talking about how major this guy is.
He's major. Look, let me tell you.
Know, this guy's he's one of the top guys.
And the winner of that match will go on to face Drew McIntyre. Drew McIntyre for the
W. I mean, yo, how do you even live that down? You get fired for that? You think Vince is like, yeah, listen, you got to take a step.
You got to hang up the boots. No, I don't know. I mean, honestly, I think that you don't understand how brain dead most people are, let alone most wrestling fans. I guarantee you 80% of the people watching didn't even fucking
They all noticed. It was all over Twitter and immediately. Yo, here's what I'll say. All right, anyway, just to go into wrestling, though. Adam Pearce, by the way. So, yeah, he had that slip up. But I actually want to commend Adam Pearce, because I would like to say that I thought Raw was excellent this week. Chulo did not enjoy Raw, but or whatever. I just thought this show, Adam Pearce played a structural role in the show.
Pivotal role to the plot of this week's episode of Raw.
Yes, he laid out exactly. You know, he's like, I'm the official. Here's what's gonna happen here. The show kicked off with all the guys coming in for Survivor Series. They won, and he was like, hey, so these guys won. I feel like one of these guys deserves a title shot for bringing that win back to Raw. And then it was like, oh, who's it gonna be? And then he's like, I gotta figure this out. He gets bullied by Strowman. That was great character work for Braun Strowman. That he's like, that's what you want. You want him to be, you want Fee-Fi-Fo Strowman, right?
Yeah,
you want Strowman to be like, he literally says last but not least, and he's like, you calling me last? Yeah. And that sets him off. That's exactly the Strowman I want.
Yeah, you know? That's actually so funny. Great point.
Pierce was like, but I said not least.
he's like a figure of speech.
It's
an expression, man. Like, so, dude, it's a very common expression. And then he said this right after that.
And the winner of that match will go on to face Drew McIntyre. McIntyre for the W.
To be fair, he did get headbutted, so.
I mean, here's one problem with wrestling, though. The credibility of wrestling is so low because he got headbutt. They took him out in a stretcher, and then coming back from break, if you ever just, like, watch wrestling objectively as, like, a guy who doesn't watch it, they come back, and the announce team is like, that is literally perhaps the most vicious, reprehensible attack I've ever seen. That was devastating. He might be dead. Like, they try to sell everything so hard. Yeah. Like, that headbutt wasn't that bad, man. I've seen worse things done to non-wrestling personnel before.
It was exactly this on video. It was...
Yeah, it was
headbutting your head.
They were like, I have not seen a more violent instance of man on man violence in my life. Hey,
but I feel like they use Survivor Series like in a rare form. They're like, hey, they won Survivor Series, that matters, and so now let's come. And they're all like, hey, I'm the one who should get it. Oh, AJ was like, I'm the captain. And he's like, here's what we should do. Then Bobby Lashley, I thought, was a great use of him being like, I'm the only one who won. He's like, I'm the only one who won their match, their singles match. And you're like, I didn't even notice that. They're ahead of me. I didn't notice that. And Bobby's keep it. It felt like they made that show actually matter. And on top of that, I just want to say, we were watching Survivor Series. Those Survivor Series matches were really delivering, I thought. Like, they were a fucking blast. And so you're like, why not announce before that if your team wins, then, like, treat these matches like a grill and throw some steaks on it. You know what I mean? All these matches had some steaks. That would have been sick. And so the matches would have delivered if we cared about them, you know?
Look, man, do you know how hard it is to plan something out and give it thought and think about it without a deadline? So here's what happened. They needed to book Survivor Series. They're like, fuck, we got, shit. All right. And they're booking and blah, 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 blah. And then it's now it's over. And now it's Monday. Yeah. And they just go, fuck. What are we going to do? What are we going to do today? Yeah. And then they're like, hey,
that's,
you know,
exactly
what might be cool? It might be cool if we're like, hey, well, they all won, you know, because they did good. You know, we just make a thing where they get the title. There's no instance where these guys are planning a month out to be like, hey, we should say that whoever wins that team, those guys are eligible for a shot. Right. That's too much forethought. They think of the best stuff within 10 minutes of airtime. They're just slapping this thing together.
I also love what they're doing with, like, I also felt like this show was like, I wasn't ahead of this show at all. I knew exactly what was going to happen. Like, I guess the only things that I wasn't ahead of is, like, I was like, I don't know, maybe they have Sheamus beat, like, Riddle. I was like, yeah, they'll probably push Riddle, but I don't know. And then I was like, but you knew the main event was going to be Randy, AJ, and that Bray was going to get involved. They're like, that's the perfect way to pull Randy out of title contention. He loses his, and you're like, but we get to set up that story. You knew it was going to happen. But that doesn't mean it necessarily is, like, it's still satisfying. Sometimes you don't need to be ahead of wrestling. It just has to happen in a way that's cool. And you're like, more of like, when is it going to happen? So, like, when Bray popped up, you're like, oh, that's awesome. I felt like, how are they going to blow this match for Randy? You know?
Yeah.
So I just thought it was like, for me, even if it's at the expense of me being slightly ahead of it, I like the show not feeling like random. You know what I mean?
Look, surprise and novelty is one factor that can make something enjoyable, but it's not the only factor. I don't need to be completely taken by surprise by every single thing that happens for me to for me to enjoy something. Sometimes if something is just really well executed or re-executed, like if it's just like they do a really good job with something, even though we knew Randy was going to fiend it off and out of the picture, it's still great if they pull it off. I think what we crave as, you know, storytellers and entertainers who watch this product is we beg for this to make sense. And most of the time it doesn't.
For it to feel like an actual television program.
Right. So this episode of Raw happened to make more sense than most episodes of Raw.
Right.
That and again, some people that doesn't matter for them, you know, so, you know, whatever. And it's just one factor, like how surprising, how swerve did you get? You know, how well did they pull off this and that? How great were the matches? And then another factor is, hey, how fulfilling was it, you know, narratively? Like, did this make sense? Did it check out? Did it feel good? For me, I need shit to be believable a little bit. Obviously, it's fun to suspend your disbelief. We have to do so much of that just to watch wrestling. But I love when something like, it can't make no fucking sense whatsoever. I think the worst wrestling makes no fucking sense. That's why I don't particularly like British finger locks, where it's like, hey, he's gonna break this guy's fingers. Yeah, he's really gonna break that guy's fingers, and then he's gonna do it again later in the match, and then he's gonna do it to this, and that guy's gonna get his fingers broken every week. Like, how about that's not what breaking fingers is? Like, I need it to be real a little bit. Yeah. Just give me something. Yeah.
And sometimes we differ there, because I'm willing. I like suspending my disbelief if you
sometimes
sell
it
in canon. But you're right, the breaking the fingers thing doesn't make sense because their fingers are never broken later.
Right. Then they're literally fucking signing autographs 2 seconds later. It's just bullshit. I can't have egregious bullshit. So it's nice. The opposite of egregious bullshit is like, oh, shit, this makes perfect sense. Guy comes out, says, hey, this team killed it. You guys deserve something. So one of you guys is going to get a title shot. I think it's great. Lashley comes out, says, hey, motherfucker, what about me? I'm actually the only guy who won a goddamn singles match. He's like, you know what? You're absolutely right. Great. You get, you know, it all made sense. Well, it's fulfilling. You know,
it just
when
dawns
this
on me.
Bullshit product that never makes sense happens to make sense.
But the thing about it is that, like, what dawns on me, and it's kind of like I always say this here, but the thing I never point out is that, like, it's also would be easier for them if wrestling was just simpler. Like, if they gave the show, if they made it like this, it's like, hey, there's three qualifying matches, but then, like, Fiend does Firefly Funhouse. Then, like, there's like structure here. Here's what the show. It's supposed to be in kayfabe. The show's supposed to be a couple of qualifying matches, right? That's what it's supposed to be. But then, fuck. Oh, Bray hacks into the mainframe, and before that match, it's this. Like, he shows a Firefly Funhouse, or, like, you know what I mean. And then you're like, Bray pops up in that match, and it gets screwed up. It's like the wrestling's always kind of like the show where everything goes wrong. You know what I mean? Like, right. Oh, and then you can even have some weeks that kind of just go according to plan, and that still would be fine if you the matches had some stakes where you're like even with AEW, even have their records. Like, the records in AEW go a long way for me.
Yeah, it's cool. It's very cool to see. I love that stuff.
Yeah.
For sure.
Because it's cool when you see, because it also helps the wrestler, yeah, even when they're losing, the records help them. Because then in kayfabe, you're like, this guy's on a fucking cold streak. And then when they turn around, you're believably like, oh, he switched it up. He got new management. And totally. He's on a tear, you know?
We're just talking about things that are tangible and real that you can right. follow and track to make sense
it's
of this
such
complete-
a low bar.
Right. We're just looking like, hey, can you give me anything to help me make sense of the fucking nonsense that is happening on my screen right now?
Right.
This is complete fuckery. Can you just root this in some reality so I can try to follow what is going on with you people? And the records help. Having a strong GM with like a clear plan that they actually do helps.
Adam Pearce is also like really good at that job because he plays it. He had one slip up, I think, which was, I think it was when he went.
And the winner of that match will go on to face Drew McIntyre for the dub.
Okay, look, no, he had one slip up, but he does play it like super straight. You're like, this guy's this like, lame guy who works in the back. He lives in fucking Jacksonville and has a couple kids. And like, this
he's paying fucking alimony to his goddamn wife. Right, he's breaking his fucking back. He has to be this GM, and then when he's done with his shift at Raw, he has to go load boxes at Best Buy to try to fucking make money because he just had it up to here already.
Yeah, he's WWE official. Like, you imagine he goes to Vince. He's like, hey, can I maybe be called the GM, and they're like, you fucking shut the fuck up, all right? And get out of my office.
Unless you want to go back to loading boxes and fucking Best Buy, you dirt piece of shit.
Yeah, right.
And he's like, my fucking boss is fucking...
The GM role is so key in professional wrestling, and they always goof it up. They make it like
there's
Kurt Angle, who doesn't
ones.
Even the name...
Well, look,
doesn't even know the name of Jinder Mahal. Okay,
Jinder Mahal. Look, Kurt Angle on paper is a phenomenal pick for GM, and he's great on the mic. Somehow, his run at GM was a complete misfire, and it's only because he was so terrible at talking the whole time. Like,
his brain doesn't work.
Well, Kurt, the curtain's that way. No curtain. You're not your name. The curtain. That's why they had to make the song like stutter because this is him trying to find the curtain
and he was banging into the wall. Every time it restarts, it's him banging his face into a new mirror wall trying to find the
Yeah, no, Kurt, Kurt, no, it's over there. Yes, that's it. All right, good. It is. Let the song drop.
Oh boy, poor Kurt Angle. But yeah,
no, I mean, I love
great,
Kurt Angle.
He was a fucking mess. Look, there's been some great.
What a great wrestler, Kurt Angle, though.
Great wrestler.
One of the best. Yeah,
one of the best. There's been some great wrestlers who became GMs, and there's been some awful GMs. I mean, I think Paige was a fucking awesome GM.
She was so great.
Good. She was so good. And you know, then you have guys like fucking Shane, who should do a great job, that just don't deliver.
Guys, am I wrong that Paige lost her job? Like when Vince came out and was like, I'm going to give you what you want because the ratings were down. And they were like, Paige is going into a different role. And then it was like they gave Shane it, right?
Look, they're not going to – look, they make plenty of mistakes.
It's
a huge mistake to not have – they should let Paige do whatever she wants and have her on TV as much as possible because she's awesome. She's great. Like, she's just very good and she gets wrestling. I think she's great. And I love the Absolution song. If you give me the Absolution theme song, I'd love it. I'll listen to it all day long.
I'm a big fan of what Adam Pearce is doing. Now, I want to switch over to – let's talk about some Survivor Series stuff.
Can I switch – and I'm sorry I do this all the time, but it's my problem. I'm a problem.
What do you want?
I
want
to keep it in gear, in the Raw gear, and we're talking about how things make sense, and that was very fulfilling and very great. One thing bumped me as making no fucking sense whatsoever.
Okay. Yeah,
and
what flavor is that?
The lime, duh. But I bet we were going to go to the same place here. You were just going to a different wall. Go.
In an episode where almost everything made sense and you could follow, hey, this is why this guy's doing that and here's this and there's that, I could not for the life of me understand why MVP mm-hmm. interfered in the Keith mm-hmm. Lee-Bobby Lashley match at a time where Keith Lee wasn't even really like on a run to start beating mm-hmm. Keith Lee flexed out of a finisher, and then MVP
that whole thing
Lashley the match, meaning Lashley now doesn't have a title shot, which is the opposite of what the Hurt Business wants. It's what the opposite of what MVP wants as a guy who's trying to make his guys, you know, big deal.
Yeah.
The only thing the announcer said was like, oh, he's protecting his investment because Lashley was about to get hurt. But Lashley was in no immediate danger whatsoever. It wasn't like he just took a finisher or was about to. It was a random moment.
I felt a couple times last night that MVP was like doing shit on his own. Like he was calling the shots. Like when that countout happened and he ran into the ring.
Yeah,
the whole
that was
interaction
great.
But the whole interaction between New Day and MVP was very like sloppy. I'm like, what the fuck is going on here? I feel like MVP's calling the shot right now. That like, oh, we're gonna restart this match. And I was like, this is really weird. Like,
right?
I don't know.
Why does he have the authority to do that? Right?
Well, the whole thing. So the idea that the reason why I wasn't liking Raw was because it literally felt like it was one of those things where it was like, all right, we know we're gonna do these elimination matches, but we don't have a plan for anything else for tonight. So they just like. That was like a rip up the script moment by Vince and said, all right, we're going to start off with this tag team match and just give us some time. We need you guys to eat up 30 minutes, you know?
Right,
and that's
right.
what it felt
He's like, well, I could do a 20-minute match. Like, all right, do two of those.
Yeah,
do that
yeah, yeah,
and then
yeah.
do it again. it was a little bit – in a night where most things made sense, mm-hmm. a couple Hurt Business things did not make sense. And I generally like the Hurt Business. But MVP, why is he able to start a match whenever he wants? I think that was more he taunted them into agreeing to do it again. Like, hey, you don't want to win like that.
Can I say
it was a little bit weird, and the Lashley thing made no sense.
Something I love about Hurt Business is I love that they're really focusing on the fact that they're a business. You know, I like. There's something about wrestling where it's like, you know, Shebs always says like wrestling is shit, like wrestling's bad or whatever. You know, wrestling is like it's big theater for big crowds. So like I like when stuff can be like kind of in a regular TV show would be like corny because it's way too literal. For example, Roman in the contract signing actually sitting, he's like, I'm the head of the table, and then he sits at the head of the table and he actually calls himself the head of the table. Perfect wrestling for me. Like, perfect. That's like perfection for me. I love that. Being like, I'm the head of the table. That's the equivalent of Bruce the Barber Beefcake, huge scissors to me. You know what I mean? Like, I love that.
It's you like, cannot cut hair with that scissors if you're not right? Barber.
Like, that, I love that. So, like, Hurt Business, and then actually being like, oh, in kayfabe, MVP, he's like, actually, they're actually in the business of Hurt. You know what I mean? Like, they're actually – and then they literally, like, MVP is like – that's why, like, Riddle goes up to him and is trying to sell him fucking pizza yogurt. You know what I mean? And you're like – and he's like, hey, listen, pitch me some ideas later. He's like, doing it like a Shark Tank thing. That's something I like, personally.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah, it's good. It's a gimmick that makes sense. But Hurt Business, I think, is so cool, and I think they have a lot of potential, but they're really being fed to the wood chipper here. Like, when I look at the facts here, these guys' job, they lose everything they fucking do.
Yeah.
And it's making the only people that they can, like, beat the shit out of all the time. Yeah, the only other team that they actually dominate nonstop is Retribution. Is the absolute bottom of the ladder and lose every fucking match. The Hurt Business mops the floor with them. But anytime there's anything else going on, the Hurt Business pretty much loses. Oh, they also, like, beat up Ricochet, who, again, is...
Well, Retribution,
the biggest disappointment in all professional wrestling.
Retribution actually beat the Survivor Series team. So, before on the Raw last week, before Survivor Series, Retribution beat the Survivor Series team. So, just saying.
Oh, good for you.
That's for Retribution. They deserve
just
it.
Saying.
But all right, can I say something while we're talking about Keith Lee for a second? Okay,
sure,
Keith Lee and Shebs, we don't need your classic diatribe about Keith Lee.
I have new stuff to say about why he's garbage, but go ahead.
Okay, well, I just want to say this. So Keith Lee's promos specifically, the way he does them, his cadence is very confusing to me. It feels like he's doing a character that is Keith Lee the professor. Right?
No, like, I've explained
like
this to you.
Shakespearean.
Right?
No,
it's almost like he's like,
it's
I'm
Uncle Phil. He's doing Uncle
like
Phil.
Like he's giving like a moral of the story.
He's
like,
giving like, a moral like, of the story. Hey, Will, you know, sometimes it's okay that she doesn't like you back because You're going to grow and she's going to grow. And you're going to look back on this moment and realize that we were the family you needed all along. The motherfucker's Uncle Phil.
Okay? He literally said, that's pretty interesting. He said, because he was like, I hate to interrupt, but I had to interject. I did it more Shatner-y than what it is. Right?
And you're very like, Shatner Uncle Phil, yeah.
If he's just going to be like a big badass dude, which by the way, I love Keith Lee. Yeah. And none of that, I think they're investing him pretty hard. I think they're trying to make him like the next like big guy, like physically large guy. But man, I'm almost like, give him a gimmick that acknowledges that that's how his promos are, because it's distracting. No one speaks like that. That's not a natural way to speak.
You know how to fix him.
Don't say it. The gimp mask?
You put him in a gimp mask. First of all, he's got Arlen hair. His hair is thinning on all sides.
So who do we have in it now?
Do I need a sound drop? Put him in a gimp mask?
Put him in a gimp mask. Bobby Lashley, put him in a gimp mask. Asuka, put her in a gimp mask. Keith Lee, put him in a gimp mask. I want a stable of great wrestlers who suck at everything else.
And the Blade?
The Blade and the Blade.
No, honestly, you could take the Blade out of a gimp mask. He's okay. I don't mind him so much. He could do it without the gimp mask is a surefire way to take someone who's incredible in ring, but who's really just doesn't understand how to do any other part of wrestling, and in fact is awful at every other part of wrestling.
I would give Keith Lee like a Matt Stryker thing. Like I think like he comes out and he's like fucking alimentary, man. But then when he wrestles you, he's fucking huge. Because if that's how he wants to deliver his promos, he might as well carry a skull. He might as well be
doing the soliloquy. Yeah.
I said it's so good experience.
Well, I got some new issues about Keith Lee.
To be or not to be.
To a sea of trouble.
I was under the impression. Yeah. That Bobby Lashley is known as far as like wrestlers rankings and what they're good at, like that he's known at least kayfabe as like the one of the top tier strongest guys of all time. Like it's him, Lesnar, Strowman. Maybe they try to get Roman in there. You know, like these are like the strongest guys that WWE has, like max power, max strength guy. Yeah. I have no reason to believe that Bobby Lashley is weaker than Keith Lee or anyone else. He's just, they're all the strongest guy in the world. Right. And all these guys are stronger than Orton and stronger than AJ. But anyway, when Lashley was fighting Keith Lee, they were like, oh, Bobby Lashley does not want to go strength for strength with Keith Lee. He's going to have to rely on his speed here because he's going to have to use his quicks. And I'm like,
what?
That's the wrong tack. Yeah. They're both equally massive powerhouses. They should be like saying it's strength against strength. So my issue with Keith Lee here is they're also trying to – they don't know what they're trying to position him as.
Yeah.
And if they're trying to make him – he's known as a guy who's stronger than even the Bobby Lashley's of the world, then he is the strongest guy ever, which, by the way, I don't think is what Keith Lee should be billed as. He should be billed as a huge, strong guy who's also mega athletic and can do all this great stuff.
You know who I see Bobby Lashley? When I see Bobby Lashley, I always think of Czech Congo, you know?
Sure.
Because I'm like, that guy had a perfect physique, and you're like, wow, this guy's a killer. And then guys who look way worse than him would knock him out. Remember?
Right. Well,
Roy
Nelson is like a kind of looks like a fat trailer park guy. Like had a fight against Czech Congo. Where Czech Congo, if you don't know who Czech Congo is, he's a French. He's of African descent, French guy, who looks like a fucking what a perfect jacked movie.
The Silver Surfer.
No, because Silverman's not jacked enough. This guy looks like really just like the if you had to cast like a big, huge jack dude, like he's the perfect version of that. He looks incredible and like scary and tough and awesome, badass. And
but everyone knocks him out.
Roy Nelson's like a fat dude with a mullet. And they fought. And if you don't have friends who know about MMA, I was like, hey, look at these two guys. Who do you think is going to win this fight? And they're like, oh, definitely that guy. And it's like, actually, you're wrong. It's that smaller fat dude with a mullet. He's gonna kick the shit out of him. And so Bobby Lashley's like that. He looks incredible, and that's almost where it ends. Like there's not much else to Lashley. Anyway, I mean, this the way for them to have
it's true. Lashley's had He's had a really long career with not very memorable moments. His most memorable moment is representing Trump.
Right.
Yeah. He's all over the
place. Hair versus hair match. Well, but anyway, but my issue with Keith Lee here now is almost out of his hands. Is they don't know how they're supposed to sell him to us. He's not helping them out, but they're saying like he's stronger than Lashley. Like I don't know. When they were next to each other, he actually does look bigger than Lashley, but I don't think that he's actually stronger than Bobby Lashley.
Well,
Lashley
easily picked up Keith Lee. Did you see that?
Lashley is just like a black Lesnar. Like he's so jacked that it blows your mind how big this guy is.
Bro,
right?
What
like,
if he went by Black Lesnar?
Black Lesnar? That'd be if he was in the Indies, he would. I mean, it's a great. But my point is, when a guy looks like that, you just can't go around saying, "Oh, and this guy's stronger than that guy." That's not going to work for people watching TV. They're going to be like, what the fuck are you talking about? This guy's enormous. Like, at worst, they're the same strength, which is they're both the strongest guy in the world.
I read it more as he proved them wrong, you know, by doing all the things that he did in the match, except for when he put him over his shoulders and then was going to run at the ring post outside the ring and collapsed and almost died.
The announce team, I did.
Dude. They went. I was yelling, go to commercial, because I literally thought.
To put these in perspective, these are huge men. But the fact is, if you listen to the announcers.
Guys.
And the announcers.
Way, that's the thing we never talk about in that sound drop. He goes, guys.
Let's put this in perspective. These are huge men.
He's like, the conversation was all over the place. It's too scattered. He really reined that in. You know, he's like, guys.
Wait. Let's put this in perspective. These are huge men.
It's like, guys, you're not considering the obvious here. Yeah, I know. But my point is the announcers get all their script and talking points basically approved by Vince. That means that the top brass is approving, saying Bobby Lashley does not want to go strength for strength with Keith Lee. He's going to have to rely on his speed. And that's just it's not believable. It makes it all too ridiculous all right. for me. And my final issue with Keith Lee of this week is, Dan, you may not be paying close enough attention to this.
I am.
As we all know, his finisher is known as the Spirit Bomb, which, as we know, Dan, is from what?
The Spirit Bomb?
Oh, you don't know? Okay, so your ass better call somebody. The Spirit Bomb, a Spirit Bomb is a... Bam, now. The Spirit Bomb is a Dragon Ball Z projectile. It's a move that, Goku used at some point. And I believe Kieran could do. Spirit Bomb is one of... It's one of the... It's not Kamehameha, it's one of the top techniques in Dragon Ball Z. He makes a huge, big blue ball, and he throws it. Spirit Bomb. That's what it's called, okay? Very powerful attack in the DBZ universe.
I got to tell you, I had enough of DBZ.
So, let me tell you something. Yeah. Anyway, Keith Lee's finisher is the Spirit Bomb.
Yeah.
And it's a pretty good move. It's not incredible.
I love it.
Good. I like it. It's good. It's a pop-up power bomb.
Way better than his other moves. His other moves sucked.
And so that's my point. His signature move, which I just clocked when I was watching this match, is called, what the fuck is it called? The Grizzly Magnum. Okay?
Oh, yeah.
You guys aren't paying close enough attention if you don't know that Keith Lee's second biggest move is called the Grizzly Magnum, which on its own just sounds fucking stupid. As a move, it's a bad Mongolian chop. He basically, Dan, if you don't, he puts his arms up like this.
Yeah.
And then he slaps you in the chest with two hands.
Yeah.
God fucking awful. And the Grizzly Magnum, which is a very bad name for it, is also from an anime show called One Piece. It's a move that another fucking cartoon Japanese character does. So this guy's...
Who gives a shit?
Well, my point is this, Dan. You always fucking hate on guys doing cosplay and pulling shit that's not
wrestling.
I don't
like any of that.
Keith Lee, all his moves are fucking shitty anime moves, and you fucking mongoloids don't even know that he's ripping all the shit off. I'm the one with my ears to the goddamn streets. I'm the one who knows all the goddamn information, and I'm telling you, he's fucking lamer than you even imagined. He's actually stupider than you thought. I thought he was stupid, and actually turns out he's actually really stupid. And the guy's moveset is fucking for shame.
Sheds is his own soundboard.
Yeah.
I gotta tell you, Shebs.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable how you have a fresh arsenal of knocks on Keith Lee anytime you come on the podcast.
Sometimes you look at something and you squint and you go, hey, I like that because I'm not looking fucking close enough. You wanna like him. Yeah. We want to like Keith Lee. He's a big guy. He's fat. That's fun for people. But he's athletic. That's incredible for people. You know, he seems like a nice enough dude. I don't know. He was on the indies. Whoop-de-doo. Like, we want to think this guy is great. And what I'm telling you is that he's, in fact, not great. He's incredible in ring. He's incredible in ring, but he's not fucking Shawn Michaels in there. He's not like a once-in-a-lifetime in-ring performer. He's really good, and if that's the only thing you could fucking do, it's not enough.
Well, these talents don't realize, they all agree
his promos are embarrassing. He sounds like a fucking idiot. His packaging and gimmick makes no goddamn sense, and now we learn this. His moveset, which is admittedly trash, Dan, you said it not 5 minutes ago, and he's pulling the names from anime fucking moves, from moves that anime characters do. It's lame for shame. You guys like him because you're not paying fucking attention. You want to like him. You don't actually like him.
Shame.
Shebs. Shebs, listen. I got to tell you, it's another classic Shebs moment where I don't have any rebuttals for that. Not that I was here to defend Keith Lee, but I'll say this, is that you do admit he's a great wrestler, which I say. And I think that what I think about pro wrestling, and it's one thing that that Vince is so good at, he's not so good at, but he's way better at. He can instantly see these guys when they come up from NXT and goes like, this is not going to work. Like, well, this is not going to work. But I want to parlay that and be like, yeah, I get it. Keith Lee's branding is a little all over the place, right? You already have a guy who says glory, which is Bobby Roode, right? It's already a little that. Okay. But then you have a guy like Matt Riddle, who I want to say I thought really worked this week. Whether you like Matt Riddle or not, I feel like if you watched Raw, if you turned it on, if Wadowski, right, our casual friend Wadowski turned it on, he would be like, I get this Riddle guy. I understand this guy entirely, whether you like it or not. And I think he has a really clear character game, right? It's why I always see these WWE wrestlers, and they've toyed with it. WWE's been in contact with UCB before about teaching. I was supposed to teach the wrestlers improv, and it never happened, you know? It would help them to have clearer character games, you know? So the guys who nail it, this is what I don't get. If you're Keith Lee, wouldn't you be like, man, why are my the names of my moves, Legion, like it's all just random stuff. And if you want to be random, the best way to do random is Asuka, in my opinion. Whether you like it or not, hit it with a lot of variation. Just be like, it's nuts, so just let's make it crazy. Just go even just nuts. It's constant nuts. Every color in the book. I'm dancing, I'm going nuts, and people are like, she's crazy. That's fun. But if you're like, I'm Keith Lee, you're like, I'm basking my glory. What is that? People are like, I don't even know exactly what to do with this. But the wrestlers everybody loves have really clear characters. Undertaker, you get that. You know exactly what that is, right? Stone Cold, you knew exactly what that was. The Rock, you knew exactly what The Rock was. He's actually an example of a guy you could argue would veer off here and there once people liked him. But like Matt Riddle, I'm like, oh, he's set up for success in my mind. Whether he succeeds or not, it's like, they know how to write for him. Like, they gave him a segment this week that was perfectly in his voice, and you knew what his voice is. So I would know how to write for Riddle. You know what I'm saying?
I think you hit the nail on the head right here. It's doing this sets you up for success, right? It's really hard to succeed without that. However, there's more than one path to glory here, right? And The Rock, you mentioned as a guy who's maybe a little bit all over the place.
Well, sometimes, you can bask in it, right? You can bask in the glory.
Absolutely. You always can.
That's one of the paths.
Is it winter's coming, right? So it's going to be basking season very soon.
Yes.
Which is winter. Is winter basking season?
I've never heard of basking season in my life.
So there's a couple of way paths to glory here. Go ahead.
I guess basking would be summer, right? Because you bask in the sun.
Yeah, but didn't Keith Lee say basking season?
I have no idea. I don't know. Did you guys know that Baskin Robbins is literally like Basking Robbins, just chilling in the sunshine, enjoying their time in strolling along?
Yeah, it's little. Wait, is that true?
Yeah, it's the original logo. It's a couple Robbins hanging out, just basking in the glory of ice cream. I mean, I think so.
Oh, Baskin-Robbins.
No, I think it's
Robbins.
A name of somebody. All right, anyway,
I don't.
Go.
I think it's for
Baskin-Robbins.
Yeah, that's a great.
Oh,
I love that
31
too.
Flavors.
I love that too. I'm going to say he's start basking in
his
Robbins.
Oh, gotta try them all.
Anyway, basking is, look, in his look, Robbins. You can be
he
out
was,
of control.
That character
and still pull
makes
it off.
More sense.
Basking. For sure. For sure. He's just not making it easy for people to get behind him with all this mishmash. But I don't think you could still be fucking all over the place. But if you have undeniable talent, like if you're The Rock and there's you can't fucking you could put this guy behind 20 layers of fucking lead, you still see this guy shining bright, you know, like there, you can't hide this guy's brilliance. And Keith Lee doesn't fucking have that. I mean, he's good, but he's not, we're not
Here's
talking
deal.
About he's if not you, a fucking star.
If you want to be like Randy Orton, I think is like the best example of I'm gonna go by my regular name, right? Mm-hmm. But have a clear character.
Yes,
and that
I
has
agree.
To come from people seeing who you are as a person. We right. saw Randy early on as this fucking young prodigy, like privileged, gorgeous
prodigal
guy who had
son.
All the tools. He's the guy who, like, you fucking hate him, but you know he belongs or whatever.
Right.
And you're like,
he belongs there. And he knows it. And right. that sucks for all of us.
Yeah, it's undeniable, right? And it's almost right. like he almost like pulled next level shit by having years where he didn't even give a fuck. Like, that's even on brand for him. You
exactly.
know what I mean?
When he shit in that person's bag, it was almost like, oh, he's just planting seeds for character development.
Literal seeds. And so, anyway, it's kind of interesting how they get. Some of these guys just get it so wrong and never correct. The first guy who comes to my mind is Sean Spears. He's the right. first wrestler who comes to my mind when I think of, like, all over the place. Like, you know.
Yeah,
like,
but he's got a winning record on AEW. So
I could tell you this. I could tell you mathematically, Sean Spears mathematically is doing better work than Keith Lee.
Get
as far as, like, his – trying to get clarity, trying to build something. You know, Keith Lee just has nothing doing. Other
by
than
wearing a glove.
Rollins does it. Reigns does it. He's got Tully Blanchard telling him shit. I don't like Sean Spears. I just think he's more successful at professional. He's a better pro wrestler to me than Keith Lee, although Keith Lee is obviously a more exciting talent.
No, but I just think wrestling is so much easier to make. I don't think it's as hard as they think to make good.
Throw like all the... Listen, look, regardless, we got an amazing match out of the two of them. It was two behemoths. It was fucking crazy. They beat the shit out of each other.
We got an amazing match out of Keith Lee and Bobby Lashley?
Yeah, it was a great match.
I
liked
it.
But
I think
it
was a fine match. It wasn't. I'm not going to say, oh, we got this. Thank God we got this match tonight.
He fucking suplexed them. You don't get excited about seeing a big guy get suplexed like that? I mean,
I've seen better match. This isn't a bad match, but it wasn't a match where I was like, guys, you got to see this match that happened last night. I didn't call my friends about it. I wasn't like, dude, did
have you
see
watched?
Lashley?
Well, so great. Let me just go back to my other point because I wanted to, because I just want to focus. But I'm saying, but I think Drew McIntyre. Let's go to him who lost that Survivor Series.
Drew
to
who?
McIntyre.
The winner of that match will go on to face Drew McIntyre. Drew McIntyre.
Drew McIntyre. Who I hope. I hope this doesn't – thank God there's no crowds right now. The only good thing about COVID, we get some version of people chanting Drew McIntyre. I don't want that for him. But
right, for sure.
Drew McIntyre, I think, is pulling off a perfect Randy-style gimmick of, like, this is Drew McIntyre. You know his real story about getting fired, working his ass off to come back. You feel his real appreciation and love for this business. And then on top of that, he has a little Scottish motif. And it's fucking, right?
And it works.
He's from Scotland.
It works.
It's perfect. I feel like he's locked in. Locked in.
Yeah.
It works.
You guys want to lock him in?
Let's lock him in. As one of our guys?
I mean, he's so deeply one of my guys.
Absolutely
been
one of my guys.
As clarity of gimmick.
Absolutely. Look, Drew McIntyre is fantastic.
Because people say there's no gimmicks anymore, and I'm like, no, there's no gimmicks in the sense that, like, you don't. It's like you carry a slop bucket,
right?
Like that's
right.
it. But a gimmick is, if you don't think gimmick is a real thing, then your wrestling is probably shit. Because
right.
it matters.
McIntyre has a gimmick. The thing is, this Drew McIntyre has also been on the other side of the coin, where it's like, the guy has a lot of tools, but he's just not putting it together. It's just not working. You know, he's been a guy who's been a disappointment before. With three-man band and all that
where
shit.
The, like, was he on the episode this week of Raw? No.
I don't think he was.
That's kind of wild, right?
Yeah. I mean, people got so mad that Hikaru Shida is not on TV, even though she's the champion. They got a lot of shit. People were shitting on the fucking Shade Master General for supporting the women's division of AEW, and yet he gets proven right again. The champion was not on TV this week in Drew McIntyre.
Yeah. It's kind of wild.
But I'm excited to see Drew. It was cool to not see Drew. I've liked Drew not on the show because, like he lost. And also, they're setting up for who fights him. Like, you know, Lesnar, when he was the champion, sometimes people would complain about it. But then when he showed up, it felt like, oh, that championship matters. Like,
good
he's
point.
The champ.
So,
like,
they did a great job with Lesnar. Everything they ever did with Lesnar,
right?
They nailed
it. You know,
it.
Also, that's the other thing I realized that I was like, why am I not seeing this? And I was like, oh, they're also throwing the title back on Drew because they want him to wrestle Lesnar again. Right,
I don't know what the fuck is going on with Lesnar.
Yeah, they're gonna
I don't know
where
he's at.
That's probably their
that?
Plan for Mania is that rematch. You know,
okay.
But also, so and also, yeah, they're locking in Drew, but which like we had, but cool to see who's they're gonna go for the Drew AJ feud, which I think that'll be a good time, right?
You think they would?
You think AJ's gonna fucking rock and roll?
Oh, because there's I forgot. I thought that was AJ qualified.
No, it's Riddle, AJ, and Keith Lee.
Yeah, so who do you think wins those three? I forgot. Yeah, sorry. That was all right. So Riddle, AJ, and Riddle, AJ, and Keith are gonna wrestle each other. Who do you think wins that match? Triple threat.
I think praying to God it's not fucking Uncle Phil. Praying to God, but I think it should be AJ. He's obviously the most viable opponent and would make the best match.
Well, maybe that's why they gave Keith those wins over Randy. So it's actually like, yeah, but I don't think they'll go Drew versus Keith.
AJ would be phenomenal. I think they're gonna go Riddle. I think they're gonna
waste of everyone's
wait,
time. I mean,
but Riddle won't win. But I think it's a good way to have Riddle have an incredible match with Drew. The timing is we're in no man's land right now.
Sure,
this is
a
great time to give a guy a
huge
match.
It will be at TLC. So.
It doesn't need to be a gimmick
match,
though.
Yeah, there can be nothing. No, that's fine. I'm fine with it. I'm afraid I've got some bad news. Matt Riddle, first of all, I mean, just let the guy be Matt Riddle. I mean, what the fuck? Are we taking Matt away from the guy? Whatever. Anyway, he's not that good either.
People are saying they can't change his name because when you Google it, the first thing that comes up is sexual misconduct.
Right, that makes perfect sense. But just going by Riddle is silly because, I mean, that sounds like that needs to be a gimmick. Like, he needs to wear, like, question mark panties and
the
stuff.
The Riddler.
You know? Right.
Question mark panties?
Yeah, you know, he's not that great. I understand what's fun about him. He has clarity of gimmick. His gimmick is just Spicoli from Fast Times, right? I mean, I'm not a huge fan because he's goofy to be tough for real. Like, it would not.
Well, his gimmick, I would say, is more Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure.
Whatever. He would fit perfectly. He could seamlessly slide in to a tag team with Otis because those guys are the same level of like beloved, goofy. They could have been big deals, but they're just too fucking silly. So it just like doesn't work for me. They're the same.
I disagree. I think that Matt Riddle, actually, who I lost a lot of faith in, especially, I mean, listen, let's remember the timing of Matt Riddle's debut. Matt Riddle debuted on SmackDown the day that woman spoke out against him. Remember that? It was his, and like, you know, Tula was a huge Riddle mark. Dude. I mean, it doesn't even get bigger. You met him, you love the guy. And I feel like there's this feeling everyone is like, you don't know how to feel about him. So, listen, I feel that, too. He fell off for me. Like, Shebs, you know how much I was into Riddle.
You're a dick rider. You love this guy. I don't know why. I think he's great enough to like but not to love.
I think that he has the potential. First off, I think that this week he was walking in the back after his match. He won that big match, and he looked jacked up because he's in super, super great shape. And then when he had that promo, that thing with Bobby, with MVP, I was like, this is pretty funny. Like, and he was like, first off, I'm not your bro. And then Tulo said that to me. And he's like, I like that. Like, he's goofy, but then he switches. Like, oh, all right, we're going to fight. I think it's good.
The switch doesn't work for me. I'm telling you this right now. The guy will never be champ. He'll never be the world champion. Ever. Ever, ever, ever.
That's a safe bet.
I will say this about Riddle.
He doesn't
definitely
have
IC
takes.
Champion.
Yeah, maybe
if
he's
about
lucky.
Riddle. This was the first week that I like cared about him again. Like it was the first time.
This was a good week for him.
I was like, wow. Yeah. I was like, wow. I was like, you know what? His match with Sheamus was fucking tough. I mean, he can really sell in the ring. He's an incredible in-ring talent. Talking about someone who has moves, all of his moves and his wrestling style matches up to him. Things are you know,
good
named after. So
good move
I think I have zero complaint about this guy's ability. I think he does exactly what you want to see in a wrestler every single time he steps in the ring. And his segments are good. It's still like I just don't think he fits in here. Like it doesn't feel right on SmackDown. He was perfect in NXT.
On Raw, you mean?
Yeah, or Raw, whatever.
Or any actual big deal television show. He's a fucking sideshow. Like he's not the guy.
But I think his potential. I think he still has a lot of potential. I think as he gets used to it and. I would rather him be a tougher, just crazier dude.
Okay, like I just want to remind you a couple things about Riddle, okay? Tulo, I see what you're saying. First off, I want to say one quick thing. Just sidebar. I don't want to forget this. Kevin Owens headbutting his feet, working his feet, was fucking hilarious during Survivor Series.
But that's Kevin Owens being the man, not Matt Riddle.
Well, it's great. It's great.
Yeah, that's but Riddle was selling it too, so it's
Well, no, I'm giving that props to Kevin Owens. But Matt Riddle, I think – every wrestler comes in, starts more goofy than where they end up, right? You start bigger. And it's also a way – it's a successful formula. It works, Shebs. You know wrestling. You come in big.
Better than anybody.
You're right. Okay.
I got something good for you.
Wrestlers come in big. Their gimmicks are huge. And then they settle into, like, where's the zone of it? Mm-hmm. That used to be an old formula. Now they don't do that at all. Now they come in with nothing and then sometimes try to add something. And you're like, what? This guy's an ice cream man now? I thought he was just like his name was Travis yesterday. Now he's an ice cream man. It used to be, right? It's like, right?
So yeah, no, I agree with
you. I think Riddle, he's coming in big. It's like, it's goofy. It's Spicoli. And then, but we also know him as a guy. He starts fights with fucking Goldberg on Twitter. Yeah. He starts
like beef
with Jericho.
I don't like that.
I know
that.
You don't like it.
I'm
going to retire Lesnar. He's disrespectful to the business. And he actually, I think he's a heel. He's a heel personality. And I think his thing will be a fucking, his gimmick will be he's kind of disrespectful, which is different than Punk.
Dude,
I just think there's something there. I don't
know
if he'll put it together.
But, he won't. Let me tell you something. This is wishful fucking thinking. This guy is like a comedian who says cunt on stage all the time. It's not enough to just be disrespectful. It's not enough just being dirty or being the bad boy, like shit talking Lesnar. He has not earned the right to step to Lesnar and guys like that. He has not earned it. He doesn't deserve
those
it.
Are fake
old guard
those
shit.
Are fake walls. Those walls
here.
Are fake.
It's a goddamn
I'm not
TV
telling
show.
You I'm not telling you
people should be breaking through those walls constantly. That's grabbing the
hold on
ring.
You guys need to quiet down and listen to me speak actual important truth. I'm not talking to you as equals. I'm not telling you, hey, let's talk about this. What I'm telling you is this: to the grander human being, to the at-large wrestling fan, to human beings on earth who observe this behavior, it does not work for them. Okay, this is like how Trump rose to power and people, the experts, couldn't put their finger on it. Why is he blah blah blah? That we can't account for all the votes. I'm the guy who can account for all the votes. I know the audience. I know the people. I know Americans. I have my ears to the streets, for crying out loud. What I'm telling you, Dan, you think it's cool. And Tulo, you think everything's cool, okay? What I'm telling you is that most people watching this, most wrestling fans who see him fucking shit-talk Goldberg and shit-talk Lesnar and rise and do whatever the fuck he thinks he's doing on social media on this wimpy millennial fucking platform, it's not rubbing them the right way. Maybe not overtly
he had a
with
backstage face to face with Goldberg. It was
he
fucking
will
awesome.
Never be champion. Ever. Unless it's like a Jinder Mahal fluke bullshit thing. He will never be a McIntyre. He will never be like a guy who feels
don't
like
add that in. Don't
champion.
That don't let that's what Trump does. Trump goes it's gonna disappear, I hope. Right?
Let me tell
you're
going to
be, unless you don't throw the unless in if you say he's never gonna be champion.
I mean by that. Without the agenda Mayhall, unless you could be fucking champion. I'm just saying it's a blanket, you know, without like Dwayne Gill becoming the IC champ or something. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
There's always the circus freak carnival bullshit thing that could give this guy the main strap.
Leon Ruff?
Right. He could Leon Ruff it. Obviously, anyone could. I'm just saying this guy, unless there's something there that I just can't see, or he really gets into like a car accident with his uncle and that guy dies and now he has to change his whole gimmick or some shit. Unless he has a deeply life-altering change, he does not have what it takes to be the guy.
I don't think he does yet. I'm saying I see potential in him more than a lot of other guys. But I like Keith Lee's a guy who I think will never put it together, in my opinion. I think Keith Lee's great, but I don't think he sees what I'm talking about when it comes to character. And someone
has a very low taste level. The problem with Keith Lee is he thinks this stuff is cool and working. And he's wrong.
And I saw Riddle, they've been giving him, he's been very stiff with his promo since he came in with the bro stuff, and it's been like cringeworthy. And this week was the first time where I felt some comfort. I saw him grow a little bit, right?
I agree. Here's the one difference.
I'm just letting Shep stuff.
It was MVP going, I'm not your bro, and him going, aw, I love that too. That was great. Yeah. All we're talking about is one funny utterance that hit. Without that, it's the same old Shark Tank stuff.
I thought the yogurt stuff was kind of funny.
I think Brogurt is a great actual product, a protein yogurt.
He said people love pizza. People love pizza.
Oh, that, by the way, the pizza yogurt thing I thought was fucking stupid and embarrassing.
Oh, I liked it. I thought it was
the
funny.
The yogurt with, he said, I put some prote in some yogurt and call it Brogurt. That was funny and good and actually should be a real product. Yeah. So love that, but the pizza yogurt thing was fucking abysmal. I like the whole thing though.
Gotta throw out ideas that work and don't work, you know.
But that's wrestling, baby. That's why we're here.
He was talking to MVP. He was trying to go wish Bobby good luck on his match, and it's like, yo, Bobby doesn't want to talk to you, man. He's like, well, I just won, so I want to be like good luck to Bobby. Like I like that.
Yeah, I like that. That's not the same as shit talking Lesnar. Well, again, we're all over the map here.
I think there's to compare, which people don't like when we do this, but if I look at two characters and how they piss people off, one is Matt Riddle and one is Orange Cassidy, right? And Cassidy, when he's in the ring, he does things that piss people off and get people upset, and he's lackadaisical and he doesn't care, and that's what pisses people off. I think Riddle does a better job in the sense of pissing off heels and pissing off the old timers by actually rubbing people the wrong way, and he just doesn't give a fuck because he can back it up in the ring and beat the shit out of you, and he knows he can. And I think that's where it all blends together. Like, he's actually rubbing people in the business the wrong way, and he doesn't realize that. He's fucking doing it.
I'm glad you jabrones like it, but he also works in the business. There's a way to do it, and there's a way to do it wrong. And let me tell you something. I'm glad you put all your fucking eggs in this moron's basket. I guarantee you he goes to jail for sexual assault one day.
Yeah, okay, great. Well, that's great. That's why I like him less now.
That's a separate point.
I want to get behind him and support
him. That's man from the art. Because as the man, I do not.
Sinking ship, baby.
Oh, God. We've said this a million times on the pod. A million, million times. Is that like.
Giving the guy credit for the first time in like 6 months.
We've all fell off on the guy so hard. It's hard to even watch.
Yeah, but you guys fell
and
off
I hated
on him
the way he handled
you
that
fell
situation
off on him for, you guys fell off on him for non-wrestling issues
right
you
so
guys
that's
loved his wrestling
you took us there you
now what
no,
I'm
no,
saying
no.
is
and
what I'm
and
saying
to be honest,
we were talking about
true.
Woody Allen's movies and then you
because
made
he
it
wasn't
about him as a personal
because
guy,
he wasn't
you know?
Doing anything to even remotely get me to care about him while he was up too so I was like you know what honestly he's making it easy for me to fucking forget about him because he's not really doing anything that spectacular. I've seen the fucking flip-flop flips. I've seen all the shit he's doing. He's not doing anything new on the main stage. He's not doing anything interesting. This week, for the first time, actually this weekend probably, because he did some good stuff with the Survivor Series work. He like established himself back as a character, I felt like, and he put himself in a position to wrestle a really good match and show that he could kick ass with fucking Sheamus.
Can we talk about something we'll all agree on?
Yes.
I guarantee
it. Firefly Funhouse.
Firefly Funhouse was a blast.
Best thing going.
God, the fucking friendship frog.
I honestly would tune in for 30 minutes a week of just Firefly Funhouse and Bray Wyatt wrestling programming. Then watch 3 hours of Raw. I'm literally tuning in.
I can watch hours of just Shmurda dancing to the Firefly Funhouse.
Bray Wyatt is one of the only true geniuses in pro wrestling right now.
Yeah.
He's truly a genius. I love everything about what he's doing.
Dude, can we – we gotta talk to us. We got to put – Chebs, you have your ear to the streets, right?
Yeah,
you're the street whisperer. Can we find out what the creative process on it? Because what he's doing is too good for WWE, right?
I think they're giving him a lot of free reign, and I think they paired him up with a writer that Vince feels is controllable enough. I think they have a trusted guy with him, and he's just doing whatever the fuck he wants. I think – he's got a rare – they're just letting him ride this hot streak, like how Vince did it with New Day. Where it's like, I don't know what this is or why it's working, but it seems to work. I'm going to let these guys just do it. I think they're letting that happen with
Yeah,
Bray.
You ever seen the video of Vince backstage dancing with New Day? Because he's just like, this is making me money. I don't know what it is. Yeah. Come on.
So, and I think that, you know, the one thing that they do is they just say, hey, well, we don't want the belt anywhere near this thing, but you could keep doing what you're doing. Everyone seems to like it. So I think that's what's going on. I will find out what's actually going on because, you know, my ears are very close to the streets. And last time I checked, they've got streets. They've got paved roads up in Stamford, Connecticut. So I'll be hearing soon enough. But Alexa Bliss, I could watch.
Can you find out? Also, I'm going to ask you. You got. Dry. Well, we'll talk about Alexa, but while we're talking about your ear to the streets, you found out. You were talking about the status of Long Island wrestlers' high school popularity. Can you find out MJF? Was he cool in high school? Can we find that out? Remember?
I will. I'm very close to the streets of Plainview, so I will find out if you.
I was just in Plainview today.
He works out at my mom's gym, so that if that helps you out. That information.
That's a great place to start looking.
Okay, Alexa Bliss, Chef. You were going to say something about Alexa.
I said I could watch her watch paint dry. She's ultimately interesting. She's just incredible to watch. Whatever she's, it's not just because she's like
incredible
huge.
Moment this week.
She's just a fantastic, charismatic performer.
No, she's what they call a star. She's a star.
She's a star. And I guess here's the thing. If you're a first time listener to the show. If you just want to know what my fucking deal is, it's that I don't think wrestling is all that good, but I love watching it.
I don't know if that's what they're thinking. But
because
all right.
when it's great, there's nothing better. When it's great, there's nothing better than pro wrestling for my money. But so much of it is terrible. And one thing that I don't have fucking time for is to debate. Like, hey, this person was not a star. But I kind of think they did good, but they're not a star. But the difference, I only fuck with greatness. I have no patience for non-great wrestlers. Okay, I love Alexa. I love Cody. I love Randy.
If it was up to you, Batista wouldn't even act in movies. You would never cast Batista in a movie.
Why wouldn't I cast Batista in a movie?
Because you would underestimate him, right? He wasn't fantastic as a wrestler.
Last time I checked, fucking the casting directors of the world don't go, let me get a fantastic pro wrestler for this movie. They just cast people based on how they look. I would absolutely cast Batista in a movie. I'm sure there's something that I would have this guy do. And by the way, what are you coming at me like you fucking were so hot on Batista after that Royal Rumble win? Everyone fucking hated him. He fucking sucked. He was awful. I'm just saying I really only get excited when I see true greatness.
I credit Batista with Daniel Bryan's success. So
you can. Yeah. It sure as hell wasn't Daniel Bryan's fault that he got so successful.
But look, Shebs, I'm not saying first off, don't ever say that I think Matt Riddle is going to be stone cold. I'm not saying that at all. I'm just saying I see potential for him to matter. That's all I'm saying. You know,
I think there's a universe, not everyone's going to be stone cold, but there's a universe where the like five guys who are at the top of the card are all just incredible. And Riddle's not going
to
be one of them.
No, I think he could get to he could be like a Kevin Owens level. That's what I'm saying.
That's an insult to Kevin Owens. How dare you?
Okay. Anyway,
Kevin Owens is a lot better than Riddle has potential to be.
Okay. All right. So, Alexa Bliss, she's just a star.
She's a star.
I think that match with Nikki Cross was
great.
Really good.
By the way, when did Nikki Cross get a new theme song? It's like
that thing is horrible. Oh, like by the way, Keith Lee got new music too.
I liked Keith Lee's music, by the way.
Yeah, that
by
was
the
way,
way
better.
The Raw theme song fucking
is badass.
It's amazing.
Yeah. That intro is sick.
I've definitely heard the new song, but I forgot what it sounds like.
The Raw theme song, it's like a rap song. It's fucking good.
It's more like an alternative rap song.
Every time it starts, I'm like, who's entering? And then I'm like, oh, no, it's really good. Check it out. And Keith Lee's song I thought was good. I thought they gave him a new song.
Nicky's is so bad. It's like
a Bonnie Raitt rock tune. It's like a weird female country song.
Everybody, it's Nikki Cross. I can't make you love.
But that's a Bonnie Raitt ballad. This is like a Bonnie Raitt like banger. It's a Bonnie Raitt banger. You got to hear it. It makes no sense.
It's Nikki Cross. Her record is "You Can Make My Heart Here We Are Again."
Well, yeah, exactly. So, but it's like a rocking. It's like a kind of folky female rock. It's crazy. It makes no
because
sense.
Because you can't Nikki Cross much. I got the cross. I also love Nia and Shayna just shitting on Lana.
Yeah,
like,
great.
That is the best way to get Lana over, actually.
Absolutely.
The best way to get her over is under is just be like, is just be like, when Asuka's wrestling her, she's like, you're wrestling Lana right now. Like, she should not even punch you. You know what I mean? It just was, it's because it's what we're thinking. So it's right. it's Lana's best chance at mattering.
That's
you know?
The thing. We like when they just try to have this make sense to me. A little. Yeah.
Well, I'm saying I really loved this Raw. I really right. loved this Raw. I was like,
they
I know.
Did a great
I'm,
job of making stupid shit make a little bit more sense than usual. And right, so that yeah. was pretty exciting for us.
Yeah, but yeah, man, Alexa Bliss, that match, like her crying and being like pretending awesome. Like she broke, that was fucking awesome. I was like, it was perfect wrestling.
I
the
wish
whole, the play
I
pain,
wish the sister
I
Abigail. I wish the sister Abigail was a little bit better though.
Well, look, she didn't nail their execution, yeah. but it was a pretty cool, it was a novel approach, and I think it still looked good. It
they
still
needed like they needed that shot. They missed the shot though, where she should have been hugging her, and they should have got a shot on like Alexa's face where she like went from like crying
to
like evil smirk, and then fucking puts her
the
in the
knowing grin. But yeah, here's the thing that I wish they had the technology for that they absolutely don't yet. But I would love. In that fictional shot that didn't exist that Tulo's calling for, I would love if she closed her eyes and then opened them and they were the white contacts.
Yeah,
we don't
have
contacts that could activate yet, and I don't.
I mean,
they can easily
do that by pre-recording that. Like after the commercial break, they show that.
No, they could cut away and she could quickly put them in and then have her eyes closed.
That, again, these are all like really bad solutions. That's not going to work. And also,
a pre-recorded shot of it. Yeah, why not?
By
the way, it's heel that makes those eyes happen, not hurt. You notice that? The heel glove is what makes her eyes.
Well, that's because she's brainwashed now. He washed her brain, and now it's clean.
Yeah, I mean, there's just something to say. Like
Alexa and Bray, I mean,
fantastic.
Wow. If I had to like draft, like to be like, yo, I'd love like these two people who don't work together to team up and do some fucking awesome shit.
Yeah.
They would be very high on my picks.
Because they're number one and number two best actors in the company. That's
probably, yeah. Right? That's probably
and
it.
Then number three is such a far drop. There's not, you know what I mean?
Right. Number three, weirdly enough, it's actually Slapjack. He's a really good actor. You don't get to see what he's doing with his face.
Shane Thorne?
Yeah.
You gotta see Shane.
Oh, you gotta see Shane Thorne.
Shane McMahon Thorne.
Anyway, hockey masks.
All right, that's all the shit I had for this week. Really, I mean, we're headed into next. You know, this is the show after Survivor Series. I thought this Raw. It made me excited to watch the next Raw, where I'm like, oh, who's gonna get the title shot? Because I'm just curious. Like Drew with the title is just it's just great because it makes Drew matter so much and you want to see Drew have more feuds, you know, because he feuded with Randy for like 5 months or something,
and
it was
awesome.
Now it's the perfect time to move on.
Absolutely, it's a good time to reset. We're getting into once Survivor Series is over, we're on the road to WrestleMania,
right?
And that's exciting.
Let me ask you something. Speaking of the road to WrestleMania, like where do you think we're going with Roman Reigns? What feud?
Well, look, at some point that other Uso is going to get back into the saddle.
That's
right?
I'm excited for Jimmy. Yeah, I want Jimmy
to
be cool, come back.
He's gonna have a proper stable behind him.
Right.
I would love to see even another addition. I don't know. They need to fucking steal some other Samoan guy from somewhere because that'd be great. Or maybe Naomi or something, just to get like more numbers in there to make it look good. You know, I think he just continues to boss around and shit on his family, I guess, kind of like me. So I like that. And, you know, who's he feuding with next? I don't know.
I feel like Roman should be really like, there's no one here for me to wrestle. Like,
yeah,
he should focus on just propping up Jimmy and Jay or something. Because
yeah,
he
should make sure they get the tag titles. That's what he should do.
Get Jay his goal should be to get Jay either the IC title from Sammy or get those guys the tag titles. I totally agree. There should be, he should just be so selective about wrestling.
Yeah, and they should let him do it.
Yeah,
he's absolutely in a fantastic
He's so good right now.
He's in a fantastic
By the way, I bought Roman's sneakers. He was wearing sneakers and Raw bought them.
I'm thinking
Aaron
about getting
found
my
them for me in 10 minutes. Like,
that's awesome. Thinking about why are girls so good at the internet?
I don't think it's a gender thing. Aaron is just incredible.
Oh, she that's right. That, there's no such thing as gender anymore. Sorry. But
it's
you're right.
Fluid. But Aaron.
Aaron's.
She found the Rollins jacket, which was amazing.
I should pick one of those up. I would have had there been a real WrestleMania. I know. I think it's awesome, man. I if there was a real WrestleMania, I was probably about to purchase one to go to it with that.
So
jacket.
Was I, and then I didn't, and then we couldn't find it anymore.
Oh, it was mine was packed for WrestleMania.
Love it.
Anyway, I feel like that we did enough this week. We did enough work, fellas.
Sure. I'm thinking about getting my first Roman Reigns t-shirt purchase.
Well, wreck everyone and leave?
Any of them. They're all great, but I think the one I like
head win. Of the table?
I like head of the table. I love head of the table. That's a great shirt.
Way more for you.
Gonna they wear it that, and just sit
I wonder
the
when they're
going to
change a song and when they're going to get rid of the dog. I don't need the dog logo.
The song isn't going anywhere because the Shield is never coming back.
He said he said they're changing the song.
I would like to see him do a program with Seth.
He was talking to he spoiled he was going to come out shirtless to a fan on a meet and greet, virtual meet and greet, and he said he's also changing his song. And he told this guy in the virtual meet and greet that he was going to do a mafia angle. I don't know what the fuck he was thinking.
And he sang, he hummed a few bars of the song to the guy. He was like, "Look, it's going to go like
Shimon.
This." No. Yeah, that's great.
It's going to go like this. He's like, I think it's going to probably go something like. Bano, Wano, Bano.
And then they go, bow, bow. Bow, really, bow. Love it.
Anyway.
Well, he's definitely doing the mafia angle, right?
I would like Seth getting involved in some kind of way, because if Seth is leaving for a little bit, maybe Roman does like there's something there where – or when Seth
I mean, Seth and Roman is going to be a wildfire program because they have so much history. So, whenever that happens –
Especially if Seth is going to step away for a little bit because the baby. Like, I think if they were to do like a crazy program, I mean, Seth is in this. He like sacrificed himself at Survivor Series. Yeah. I don't know where they're going to go with or how they're going to write him off, but I think doing something with Roman would be awesome.
Yeah,
absolutely. Or save it for. I'm trying to figure out when Charlotte's going to return. I think Charlotte's going to win the Rumble.
That'd be a great – if she returns for Rumble and surprise entrant wins, that'd be phenomenal. We'd love
it. It's either or somehow Charlotte gets the title back and then Rhea wins the Rumble so they can have that WrestleMania rematch. Mm-hmm. But Charlotte's got to be coming back ASAP. I hope they save it for the Royal Rumble.
Do you hope that Charlotte and Andrade make it? Do you hope they do the deed, tie the knot, have a kid? I love their love. I love it. That makes me happier.
I think they got the
wrestler that could come out of these two.
The language barrier really makes, I think, for their thriving relationship.
Look, there's only one language of love, baby.
I don't know when that was, and we saw them at the hotel bar, and it was Charlotte, Andrade, and Rick were all sitting around at a table getting hammered.
I love it. I mean, if you're Andrade, that's almost as great as Triple H getting with Stephanie and then get to hang out with Vince. You know, like being able to Ric Flair's family is so great. I cannot wait for WrestleMania 64, the big one, 64 bit. And it's fucking Becky Lynch Rollins versus
Birdie B.
I don't give a fuck about her.
Mrs. Kidd.
Mrs. Kidd could fight Daniel Bryan's
Birdie
kid.
B,
so,
right?
There's only one good wrestler in both of those pairings.
Birdie B versus
I want to see Murphy Rollins' kid. Rollins' kid versus Charlotte's kid. Those are legendary quadruples.
Oh,
Becky,
wow.
Seth, Andrade, and Charlotte as a foursome of like gene pool is way stronger than Daniel Bryan, one of the Bellas, Maryse, and Miz. It just is. It's better. Better quadrant.
One thing I'll say is that before I went to pee, we were talking about Rollins versus Reigns. I the thing with Rollins is they did this thing where he lost to Drew, and then remember he came out for a match and his hair was disheveled, like he was doing like kind of the walk of shame. Like that was fucking awesome. Like I feel like Rollins could keep losing and it drives him madder and madder and madder. Like I hope they go into that and then he starts being even more of like a cult crazy leader, starts losing his mind even more.
That'd be cool.
I don't know
That'd
why cool. they dropped that, but
no, you're right.
Also,
you're right.
Why did fucking Hurt Business come out at Survivor Series looking like they were like a fucking a band at a wedding or something like
wearing,
that.
They were wearing a vest.
It looked like
they're
a
wearing
Bell
those
Big
vests
Devine
you
cover
when you get
band or something.
A prom tuxedo. They were wearing those vests.
They were like the backup dancers in Bruno Mars's like tour. You know, like what were they thinking in those fucking in those?
I'd have to look at the picture of it again, but I remember Raw, MVP on Raw was wearing like a vest. Like a gold prom vest.
He's literally on my TV. That's what made me think.
I loved it. I think it's awesome.
Yeah, he's definitely. It's a bar mitzvah DJ outfit, but he looks great.
Yeah.
All right, guys. I need to go. So
yeah, let's get out of here,
guys. Hey, guys. Thanks for listening to the pod this week. It was a good time. Shebs, thanks for joining us here on the main pod. We'll figure out what's going on with the Tula. We'll talk. We'll get the bonus episode, but
yeah.
We'll figure out when we're going to do it. I might have to do it solo this week for AEW NXT. We'll figure it out. But that being said, winter is coming, is next Wednesday, and we'll record that episode immediately after it's during AEW Dynamite. We'll record that immediately after. I mean, that's December like 2nd or something. December 2nd.
12-2.
And yeah, we'll watch that. Cuz that's Kenny versus Mox, right?
Yep.
That's going to be sick. And so, yeah, we'll do that. And if you're a patron at the $5 level, you can join while we're recording it, and you can chime in when you have points to make. We did it for Full Gear, and it was a really fucking fun time. As a matter of fact, Skyler asked him, listened to it, and told me you should make that episode public because he really thought that was really cool, and I think that format really worked. So we're toying around with a lot of stuff, and you should support us for that by going to patreon.com/comedianswrestling. Really give us a couple of dollars, one cup of coffee a month, you know, support the show. We really do this ourselves. If you're thankful for us, then show it, Daddy.
Hey, I'm thankful for both of you.
Yeah, and everybody be safe. Have a really safe
I'm Thanksgiving. For
hey, everybody, thanks for listening to the show, and keep watching wrestling. Kisses.
Comedians of Wrestling.